Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams with you on a blue Monday. And I don't mean Kentucky blue. I mean that depressing blue when your team gets eliminated on a last-second shot in March Madness with a chance to go to the Final Four. We're going to be talking with Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated, who was in Memphis this weekend, in our second segment. But I want to thank Beaumont Family Dentistry for being our sponsor of the day. Three locations in Lexington to take care of all your family's dental care needs. If you are looking for a new dentist and you schedule an appointment with Beaumont Family Dentistry and you tell them that you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk on your initial visit, you'll get a free take-home whitening kit. To find out the phone number of the location closest to you, check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com. Well, Jackson Reams, I thought after Malik Monk hit back-to-back three-point clutch shots there near the end of the game that we are headed for overtime. But I hate to pull out football, but as Lee Corso likes to say, not so fast, my friend.
Well, I think it was a little bit of karma for a North Carolina team that had been beaten on a last-second shot last year, that on their run to possibly get another championship this season, that they are going to go on to victory with a last-second shot. Unfortunately, it came at the cost of having Kentucky falling out of the tournament. It was a great game between the two teams. In the first half, Kentucky got in a lot of foul trouble and really killed the Cats just because they didn't have Bam Adebayo, Malik Monk, or De'Aaron Fox on the floor for most of the first half. They were only down five at halftime, but you look at some of the things that happened. I mean, Michael Mulder missed every shot he took in that first half, and a couple of them were layups that could have really helped the Cats. They couldn't get those. Then in the second half, Kentucky late takes their first lead of the game. They get up 5 points with about 5 minutes to go, and then inexplicably don't score again until you're under a minute left. They allowed Carolina to go on a 12-0 run, really had to force some things to get it to be tied at the end, and still had a shot to send it to overtime. Overall, yes, very disappointing. Kentucky's done, but I thought it was a fantastic effort by a young Cats team that played, I mean, definitely the best team left in the tournament, and arguably, I think, in my opinion, the team that will go on to win the national championship this year.
Well, I agree. I mean, to me, that was the NCAA championship game right there. In fact, if the people at CBS had their way, I'm sure they would like to see a Kentucky-North Carolina matchup in the national championship game, but unfortunately, that didn't happen. Just amazing. Dominique Hawkins, great performance in the first half. So happy for that young man with those 10 points that he had, three rebounds, just clutch defense as always. In fact, Roy Williams made a comment after the game, Jackson, I found it was a little surprising. He said, I know that it obviously hurt the Cats when they got in foul trouble with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, and Isaiah Briscoe, but he said the guys that come off the bench actually were better defenders.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's probably a fair point to make. I thought Isaac Humphries was the star for me yesterday, coming in and scoring 12 points, a career high, five rebounds. He hit some shots in rhythm, and then about the three-minute mark or somewhere in there, he was taken out of the game by Coach Cal, replaced with Derek Willis, and never put in the rest of the time. A hot hand that Coach Cal decided down the stretch to not go with. I can understand going with the senior Derek Willis, but it is a bit ironic that the guy you thought was so key to Kentucky going on in this tournament arguably was the guy who missed the defensive assignment at the end of the game to allow Luke May to hit the game winner. No one played defense on him. Coach Cal elected not to call a timeout, which I will argue till I'm blue in the face was a terrible decision by Calipari with a young team. I think you needed to set up your defense. And Carolina's a team that's been killing teams in transition all season long. You allow them to get a transition basket at the end of the game, and that's how they walk away as winners.
Well, I hate getting on coaches, obviously, since my brother Darren coaches at the Division I level. But to me, the rule of thumb, the way I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, but if it's your ball offense like North Carolina, you don't call timeout. You're right. But if you're going to be on defense, you should call timeout. Get your defense set up, because that's what happens. And I agree, Derek, I think it was his man. But, of course, you're just trying to stop ball penetration. It's helter-skelter. It's craziness. It works totally to the offense's advantage, no doubt about it. And especially, as you said, when it's a team like North Carolina that loves to fast break it. So I know John Calipari regrets that. He admitted it after the game, the post game, so not throwing him under the bus in any form or fashion, but that greatly could have helped that team. But to be honest with you, if Malik Monk hadn't hit those two deep threes, we're not even in it.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't have been in it. They also, if they would have scored some points going down the stretch there before that last minute, they could have walked away with a fairly easy win. I mean, they were up 5 points late in that game, and they just stopped scoring the ball. They started playing that John Calipari pull back, wait for the shot clock to go down. I understand milking the clock. I really do. But at some point, you've got to see, okay, milking the clock, we are not scoring the ball. And it reminded me a lot of the Final Four game against Wisconsin, when Kentucky stopped scoring. The difference being that the Cats still had a little bit of time. Malik Monk hit some clutch threes down the line there, and they were able to get themselves back into the game and lose on that last second three. I honestly felt like the entire game North Carolina was the better team. I didn't think Kentucky really had a whole lot of business even taking that game to overtime. I just felt like the Tar Heels were better. So at the end of the day, a lot of people, you know, going to compare this game to the Christian Laettner shot or whatever. It didn't really hurt me that badly as a Kentucky fan, simply because I honestly and truly believe that is a better North Carolina team overall than it was a Kentucky team.
And I agree with you. You'd be by a better team. And, I mean, that wasn't a Hail Mary shot. I mean, the guy was in a fast break, a wide open shot. And the guy, he played out of his mind in the game on Friday night against Butler. And then he also stepped up against us, obviously, Luke May. And, of course, the best part was Roy Williams, the post-game interview, when they he admitted, he said, you know, and to think I had the nerve just to ask this guy to walk on.
I don't know. I don't consider Luke May someone who will end up being a great player down the line. I think he's gotten hot at the right time. But, yeah, he's definitely going to go down as a legend for Carolina. Not sure he'll ever make it any farther than that, but he definitely will be remembered for a long time by those Carolina fans.
Well, most certainly will. I tell you, a guy that just really hurt us, though, was Kenny Meeks. He was pounding the inside, 17 rebounds, only had 7 boards. But especially, I thought, in the first half, he just dominated.
Well, I think it really hurt Kentucky a lot in that first half between the foul trouble. There were some questionable foul calls in the first half. And for the record, I don't feel like the referees ended up having that much of an impact on the second half of the game for anyone out there still upset about that. And the size of Carolina really hurt Kentucky all game long, but especially in the first half when you have to start putting backups in to play against the starters from Carolina. I mean, Carolina goes a solid 10 or 11 deep, and they're all pretty large players. I mean, they have Theo Pinson, even as a guard, is like 6'4". You look at Joel Berry's probably is short. Nate Britt was short. But besides that, they had to bring in one guy off the bench, that white kid. Literally, his name was Stillman White, who was short. But besides that, I mean, they have really tall guys with a lot of size. Kennedy Meeks was just too big as far as being able to rebound the ball. And those second chance points are what they've been able to thrive off of all year. They did beat Kentucky in that margin 17-12. And overall on rebounds, come out with a 10-plus margin on rebounds by Carolina. I think that helped them a lot, too.
Yeah, you know, and Malik Monk did hit the two big shots. So I want to give him props there. But I thought he was MIA most of the game, missing in action. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, I can understand shutting down one guy, but really, if you're honest to me, like I said, you take Malik Monk's two big shots, they really limited Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox.
Well, you can add Bam Adebayo into that, too. He was 4 of 10 from the field. They were a combined, between the three freshmen, 13 of 34. So it just was a terrible night for Kentucky's freshmen. You had to have them giving their all, or at least one of them having a great night, like De'Aaron Fox had against UCLA on Friday. And unfortunately, they couldn't get any of those guys to have big-time nights. And at the end of the night, that's what I think I would attribute. That's what cost them the game.
Well, you live and die with the freshmen. You know, I saw that Paul Feinbaum was asking, you know, what people thought about Calipari's record here at UK. Is this satisfactory? I guess trying to compare him to Nick Saban in football going to the championship. And, you know, somebody responded, are you serious? Is this even like a question? And I noticed in the postgame notes that Calipari's 7 NCAA tournament appearances with Kentucky, the Wildcats have reached the elite, at least the Elite Eight, 6 out of those 7 times.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of people out there questioning him for all the talent he has and the preseason teams, the preseason top 10 teams that don't make it to the Final Four, like Gary Parrish said yesterday. But the point is, he is 6-0 in the Sweet 16 in 8 seasons, 4-2 in the Elite Eight in 8 seasons, and 3-1 in the Final Four in those 8 seasons. Only one title, but he's been very, very successful.
Absolutely. I'll take it every time and twice on Sunday. Well, we got to take our first break. We'll get back. We'll be talking with Justin Rowland, who was in Memphis with the Cats, next on Sports Talk.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that Action Coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the 6 steps to a better business.
Instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen. I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah? What's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local Action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn here in Action Jackson Reams. I want to thank Beaumont Family Dentistry for being our sponsor today. Three locations in Lexington, the Hamburg area, Leestown Road area, and, of course, the Beaumont area. Take care of all your family's dental care needs. To find out the phone number of the location closest to you, check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com. Well, joining us on the phone line now is Justin Rowland with Cats Illustrated. And, Justin, was it as painful in person in Memphis as it was watching on the big screen TV at my house?
Well, actually, I was there for the UCLA game, and I was not there for the North Carolina game. So I guess maybe you could blame me. You know, I brought
there
good luck against UCLA, and I wasn't there for the North Carolina game. That could have been the difference. No, I mean, whether you're there in person or not, you know, any Kentucky fan would have to be devastated by that. I do have to say it's all in perspective. You know, on the one hand, you know, they blew a five-point lead in the last three, 4 minutes of the game. On the other hand, if your point of reference is when they were down by, I don't know how much it was, like 6 or 8 points or something after that, then, you know, they were fortunate to have a chance to win it there at the end. I think if Monk's three had been a go-ahead three, I think it would have hurt more than the fact that he had just tied it up. But, yeah, well, that's a tough loss either way.
Well, no doubt it was. I guess I ask you, obviously you knew they were going to key on Malik Monk after you dropped 47 on them back in December. Then, of course, De'Aaron Fox scores 39 on Friday night. So, you know, to me, if I'm North Carolina, well, gosh, who do I focus on? But I really thought North Carolina did a great job on both those guys yesterday.
They did. And they benefited from Fox being in foul trouble in the first half. I don't know how much of the first half he missed, but it was probably about half of it, if not more. That really hurt, you know, especially because with Pinson in foul trouble and with Joel Berry sidelined, Fox went on the bench pretty quickly. They had a chance to really make up some ground. And then, you know, Fox goes out, and they were without Bam, Fox, and Monk for, I want to say, the last under four timeout in the first half. And so they weren't able to make up any ground. You know, Fox got going a couple of times, but Monk, they defended him really well. Pinson did make a big difference. He got his at the end, but yeah, I thought North Carolina defended both those guys extremely well.
As you looked at this game, Justin, I guess a lot of people thought that revenge factor would come into note for North Carolina. Think that they were able to adjust really well to play Kentucky a lot differently than the first time that they played them. But it seemed like North Carolina's size bothered Kentucky a lot more in the second matchup than it did in the first matchup. What might you attribute that to if you had to guess?
Well, I don't think it was quite the up-and-down tempo that it was earlier in the year. I think that was a factor. I think the fact that you had Pinson able to guard Kentucky's guys with the ball more, he wasn't in the first game, that helped them on the high screen some, whereas, you know, North Carolina's bigs are a little bit susceptible to getting beat on the high screen game because they're not the quickest guys. You have Pinson out there guarding the perimeter. He's tougher to get by. It's tougher to operate that screen game. I thought, frankly, Fox was a little bit timid at times going to the rim. But you're right. Their size did bother him. There was one time Briscoe threw up a lob to Bam, and normally that's 2 points easy, and Tony Bradley went up and deflected that away. Kennedy Meeks, I thought with him, he's not a vertical guy. He's not an above-the-rim player. He's just a wide body. And, you know, he grabbed everything that came his way. And frankly, I think Bam did some good things, but I don't think Bam's hands were especially stronger than the athlete. He had a lot of balls that he bobbled, that bounced off his hands, that he had stripped. And, you know, I think North Carolina's size, but also their experience, I think showed up because they had some great interior passing, too.
Well, the bench had given Kentucky some great minutes this year. Of course, Dominique Hawkins has been great, and he was very solid yesterday. Unfortunately for Michael Mulder, just wasn't his day, was it?
No, he came out firing. You know, he wanted to make an impact, and it's going to be hit or miss. You know, he's had his ups, he's had his downs this year. You really need him to be hot when he's in the game, and he wasn't able to provide a whole lot. But that bench, I mean, I thought, frankly, both teams were really fortunate and got a lot from their bench in the first half. At one point, Carolina had Berry and Pinson out, and they were up, I want to say, 18-13, and they were able to keep that lead even with Stillman White in the game. And I think, frankly, I think Fox and Monk looked at Stillman White when he came in the game and were like, hey, we can pick this guy, and that's when Fox picked up his second foul. And then you had Kentucky at the end of the first half with a lineup of Hawkins and basically a lineup without any offensive punch. And they were able to keep it close. That's when they started to shut Carolina down offensively. So Mulder didn't do a whole lot, but Humphreys and Hawkins, I mean, that bench did give them a good boost.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Justin Rowland with Cats Illustrated. He's a great follow on Twitter, at Rowland Rivals. That's Rowland. Also, Cats Illustrated, man, if you're a Big Blue fan, especially football, basketball, you ought to get a subscription to that to find out more information about how you can do that. Go to catsillustrated.com, and I believe I saw at the top of your Twitter page you have a special going on this month. Is that correct, Justin?
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. Just for a few more days through the end of the month, you can try a month for free, no strings, no commitments, cancel any time. You can try a 30-day free trial, and we appreciate anybody that joins the community.
Justin, now you move on from this game. Obviously, lots of different takes on how this season went. I saw you put up a poll to see what kind of season fans might think it have been. And I saw a lot of national media people, or maybe not a lot, but a few in particular, kind of calling out Coach Cal for underperforming yet again. And I saw you were very outspoken against that. We gave some stats earlier. He's 6-0 in the Sweet 16, 4-2 in the Elite Eight, 3-1 in the Final Four in his eight seasons. But what were your thoughts about everyone out there who might say that he has underachieved so far in his time at Kentucky?
Well, look, I mean, he's been in contention for a national title more than anybody since he's been at Kentucky. And it's just not easy to win it. You know, the one-and-done era, you see how many one-and-done players he's had. You're going to assume he's basically created an impossible bar for him to match. I think, frankly, John Calipari has basically been Dean Smith. And I'm not saying that. A lot of Kentucky fans will be like, well, we don't like that comparison. That's a really good comparison. I mean, Dean Smith, for a long time, his entire career, took flack for winning two titles. And I want to say that was like 36 years or something like that. I think Calipari would win more than two if he stayed at Kentucky for 36 years. But the point is, he created a brand that transcended wins and losses. The most glamorous program in the country, the most draft picks, the most McDonald's All-Americans, the most Final Fours, the most consistent contention. I think that's basically what Calipari has been. You put yourself in position to win a championship more than anybody else, you're going to win your share. But when you've got freshmen and you're relying so heavily on freshmen, you know, you're going to be in contention, but they're not going to be as consistent as a junior Justin Jackson or as a junior Joel Berry. They're going to be more hit or miss, kind of like Josh Jackson with Kansas. He's going to be unstoppable some games, and then some games he's just not going to be able to hit the broad side of the barn. And I think Monk's inconsistency of the season, you saw that. You saw Fox with more ebbs and flows than maybe some of the top juniors and seniors in the country. That's just something you got to live with, but his method is tried and true.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. Of course, now the season's over. People got to see a close-up of what it was like for De'Aaron Fox and Bam Adebayo after the game in the locker room and the emotion that came out. So people can't say, even though these kids are one and done, that they didn't pour their heart and soul in, can they?
That's right. A lot of the narratives that some of the more sensational national media are still pushing are just hard to justify, you know, saying that they don't care. I think mostly that's fans at this point. Fans that are bitter about Kentucky's success like to say that. You know, that emotion was impressive to see. It was tough to watch, but, you know, they certainly care. They care for each other. Fox said, I care about my brothers. And that's what it's about more than anything, even more than the program playing for each other. But also that poll that I put up, how do you feel about the season? The vast majority, somewhere between solid year, good year, great year, that doesn't jive with the narrative that Kentucky fans are impossible to please. I mean, this team didn't reach the Final Four, and people are overwhelmingly optimistic about how the season went. I mean, maybe Kentucky fans aren't as crazy as a lot of people think they are.
Well, we know for sure, I would say, that Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox will go declare for the NBA. What's your thoughts on Bam Adebayo? He's kind of, his stock's fallen a little bit from some mock drafts I've seen, but you feel like he'll probably still go too?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably gone. Frankly, I mean, I think he would benefit from another year. I'm not sure. I'd have to look a lot closer at what the draft looks like this year versus potentially next year for his stock. But he's a guy who, in some respects, is just physically off the charts. He could be a phenomenal rebounder in the NBA. If he really, really continues to get that 18-footer down, he could be tough to stop, maybe show he could put the ball on the floor a little bit more. I think his defense has improved so much. He's still not as skilled with the ball around the basket and finishing on plays other than dunks. And I think that, coupled with his hands and maybe possibly some difficulty finishing inside against bigger players or question marks, I think he'd benefit from another year, but I don't think we're going to see it.
If you had to guess on how many guys you think will depart from this Kentucky team, I know it's kind of an on the bubble or on the second question here, but are you thinking, Coach Callen mentioned maybe 8 guys departing, any guys that you think maybe might be a surprise as far as leaving the team? I know Isaac Humphries had kind of said he's going to look at some stuff, but after having that great game, you have to wonder if maybe that could shore him up as coming back to Kentucky next season.
That's what I thought when I was watching the game and I saw how involved Humphries was. And frankly, after Humphries said going into the tournament that he was keeping all of his options open, he started getting more time and he started playing really well. At first, in those first couple of games, he played well and then fatigue set in. But against North Carolina, he gave him really good minutes. I think he gave him 20 minutes against North Carolina in the first game. Against some opponents, Humphries can be really good. And he has especially if Bamba doesn't commit to Kentucky, he's got a chance, a golden opportunity to play big minutes. I thought it was surprising that even after this game, Humphries said that all of his options were on the table. So it wouldn't shock me if Humphries were to do something else, maybe even professionally. Humphries and Gabriel, in my mind, are the two to watch. I think Briscoe probably knows that he wants to go. But, you know, I'm going to say between Humphries and Gabriel, one comes back. I'm not sure which one. Frankly, I think they would benefit more from Humphries coming back if he can give them what they gave him against North Carolina. But I think one of those two comes back and all the others that we would expect to go are going to go.
And then I know that you all do a lot of basketball recruiting over there. Maybe you pay attention more personally to the football side, but McDonald's All-American practice is getting started already. Kentucky has 4 guys on the East team, plus the 2 targets that they're still going after, Kevin Knox and Muhammad Bamba. This is the time where Kentucky signees get to really pitch things to those targets, and just wondering if you think the Cats will be able to get one or both of those guys.
It wouldn't shock me if they got one. Knox said today that, you know, the Kentucky guys are on and nonstop about joining them and how fun it is to play together. And I think they probably helped their cause with how they did in the tournament and the togetherness that he probably sees there. I think they still have a better chance with Bamba. I think Knox is more than likely going to end up at North Carolina or Duke, although Kentucky has a shot based on what T.J. Walker has written and others have said. I think Kentucky's still in good shape with Bamba, but I don't think it's as open shut as people think. I think Kentucky's probably in the best position, but I wouldn't write Duke off. And I think that Bamba is going to make a huge difference. If Kentucky gets Bamba going in the next year, then they can be a really good team. If they don't get Bamba, they don't get Knox, then I think there's a pretty clear ceiling for what next year's team, for what we should expect from them.
We're talking with Justin Rowland. He's editor publisher of CatsIllustrated.com. Great follow on Twitter at Rowland Rivals. That's ROWLAND. Also offering a special this month in March that you can have a trial basis here for free. So you should go to CatsIllustrated.com and check that out. Justin, before we let you go, anything, I know big basketball weekend, obviously UCLA Friday, North Carolina Sunday, but anything happened over the past 4 or 5 days since we talked to you last week on the UK football recruiting front?
Yeah, Jaren Williams, their 2018 quarterback commitment, visited Florida. He picked up an offer from the Gators. He's still saying he's solid at Kentucky, but I do think Florida is one offer to watch. He has said that Florida offers an intriguing situation, maybe playing early, and they made a hard sell. I think Florida's a school to watch out for with Jaren Williams. And then over the weekend, Michi Harris, a receiver from Ohio, one of the top receivers in the Midwest, visited Kentucky, and he told me that the visit went really well. I should have more on that this week, and Michi Harris is going to be one of Kentucky's top targets moving forward. Still needs to continue to build that relationship, but he likes Vince Morrow a lot, and Kentucky's pretty high on his list.
All right, Justin, great stuff as always, man. Thanks so much for your time. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Always enjoy, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Justin Rowland, CatsIllustrated.com. If you're a football or basketball fan, UK fan, period, they also do things on baseball, occasionally softball, but nobody covers UK football better, especially the recruiting side, than Justin Rowland. Check out CatsIllustrated.com. He's given a free trial this month of March, promo code BBNMARCH. So go check him out at CatsIllustrated.com. We got to take a short break. Stay with us. When we get back, we're going to talk more March Madness NCAA Tournament next on 1250 Sports Talk.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our longtime sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that in the past year alone, Asbury sent individual students, groups, and athletic teams on hundreds of different mission trips to 40 different countries? If you or your student at home is interested in missions, cross-cultural travel, or study abroad programs while attending a nationally ranked, private, and affordable university, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you on a stormy Monday. We have had some brief weather interruptions during our show, but our podcasts are always available, and those are not in there, those interruptions. So if you missed anything with our interview with Cats Illustrated publisher and editor, Mr. Justin Rowland.
Yes.
Call him Jason. I knew that wasn't right. Justin Rowland. Man, always good stuff with him. And you want to check that out. You catch our podcast at 1250sportstalk.com. Jackson Reams does a great job of those. Has those up about 6:15 each Monday night, or after each show, should I say. And then also the easiest way to get our podcast is just to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook simply at 1250 Sports Talk. Want to offer congratulations to Ashley Borders, who is in first place so far in our NCAA bracket contest. Right now, she's in line to win a $100 gift card that we're giving for first prize to use at either Shamrock's or the Cellar. They are owned by the same group locally here in Lexington. So congratulations to her. Jackson Reams, you're doing a very respectable top 10 right now yourself, and I'm so far behind that I'm not even going to talk about it.
Well, I only got one of four Final Four teams, but yeah, I got to look at least a little bit respectable. You know, I'm not going to win, but I got to look like I know what I'm talking about to some extent, and I think I've done the job pretty decently.
Well, you have, and you did say on the air Friday and in your bracket that you had North Carolina winning the South region.
Unfortunately, I had North Carolina winning the South region in every bracket I made. I just, like I said, I thought they were a better team. I think they proved they were a better team, and I think that's why I was able to take the loss a little bit better than a lot of people out there.
Well, congratulations to Ashley so far. We've got the big weekend coming up, and we'll be talking about that more as we get on in the week. But right now, UK, we were talking about, you know, John Calipari getting a little bit of heat, Gary Parrish trying to say the Cal underachieved. We talked about that with Justin, but, I mean, what are people smoking? I mean, are you kidding me?
I don't know. It was him. It was Gary Parrish. It was Clay Travis of Fox Sports. I saw that they discussed it on First Take today. Stephen A. Smith said that he was underachieving. At the end of the day, I'm going to cover a lot of coaches' butts because winning multiple national championships is not an easy thing to do. You have to win, what, six games in a row, and year in, year out against some of the best teams. Kentucky, for instance, this year would have had to defeat four 30-win teams just to get to the championship game, and then would have probably had to beat a fifth if Gonzaga beat South Carolina. So you have a really hard time trying to win national title after national title. And like Justin Rowland pointed out, I mean, Cal has been in contention for Sweet 16, or I'm sorry, that's, I was reading something, for national championships year after year. And that's all you can really ask. I mean, this will be the first time in Coach Cal's eight seasons that Kentucky will have gone two straight years without a Final Four. Before Calipari got here, the last Final Four Kentucky had been to was back in 1998. So between 98 and 2010, Kentucky was not in a Final Four until Cal arrived. So it's ridiculous to say that he's underachieved, but people are always going to have that narrative when he recruits like he does and gets the top talent year in and year out and only gets to use those guys for 1 year. The argument is always going to be he should have more titles. But there are only a handful of coaches that win multiple national championships. And I still think that Cal will be able to win more national championships. It takes some work. And year in and year out, you have to get lucky. And unfortunately, the Cats have fallen short a couple of different times. As a Kentucky fan, I have no problem with anything John Calipari has done. And I will argue till I'm blue in the face that right behind Coach K, I would say year in and year out, he's the best coach in college basketball.
Well, well stated, my friend. And, you know, as Cal said often, this is not a five-game series. You know, we're playing teams five games. Yeah, I think we can beat anybody three out of five. It's one game, 40 minutes, and between fouls, injuries, it's hard, and it's not even just working harder, being smarter. There is luck involved, just bottom line. That's the fact of the matter it is, and I think he's done a great job. We don't have any problems off the court, guys getting arrested or anything bad with our kids, so he recruits good kids on top of that, still graduating a decent amount of kids, represents our program well, is unbelievable in the community, so it's absolutely ridiculous anybody would even question if he's underachieving. Stephen A. Smith, I could care less what he thinks personally, even though I did like him trying to bust up on LeVar Ball.
Well, he did go at LeVar Ball quite a bit, but I think they said, I don't know if LeVar Ball has been back on today, but I saw people just saying that it looked like LeVar Ball is completely happy with the way things went. But De'Aaron Fox destroyed his son on Friday. 39 points was an NCAA tournament record for a freshman scoring. And in the two head-to-head games, Fox in 70 minutes has 59 points, 13 assists, and 3 turnovers, compared to Ball's 24 points, 15 assists, and 11 turnovers in 76 minutes. I think a lot of NBA executives may have opened their eyes a little bit to the fact that Lonzo Ball could not stay in front of De'Aaron Fox on Friday night. And so LeVar can take that to the bank when his son may fall in the NBA draft. He'll know why. I think that De'Aaron Fox has outperformed him twice head-to-head this season, and I can understand if people are starting to maybe wonder who is the better point guard between the two when it was supposed to be a foregone conclusion that it was Ball.
Well, if you're a Kentucky fan, you just absolutely had to love it. And, of course, as I was seeing all over Twitter, a lot of people actually were rooting for Kentucky because they were sick of hearing about LeVar Ball, and they just wanted somebody to shut him up.
It was funny, though, to see people say that, oh, well, now we don't have to hear from him anymore. Well, that's wrong because he has another son coming in next season to UCLA, and then 2 years after that, he's got his youngest son coming into UCLA as well. LaMelo Ball is a five-star. That's the youngest. The one coming in this next year is only a three-star, so who knows LaMelo. Yeah, this one is LiAngelo coming in this coming season.
Is there a Jello? Or?
No, there is not, but if you put a LaJello in front of it, then that might be a possibility. But we are going to hear from LeVar Ball for a long time. So unfortunately, that is not going to shut him up. And I have a feeling he'd still argue that his son is better than De'Aaron Fox and that UCLA is a better team than UK, despite winning when it actually mattered in the NCAA tournament.
Well, the thing about it was, Kentucky just really, the second half, I just thought dominated that game. They wound up winning by 11, but it really felt like Kentucky last 10 minutes of the game, it was all Kentucky. And De'Aaron Fox, like I said, obviously led the way, but just a really good game. Malik Monk finally came out of his cold streak. Had 21 points for the Cats, and just was a very impressive win by Kentucky. And that's one of the things I thought that was concerning me for North Carolina. I mean, man, that was back-to-back brutal games within 3 days.
Absolutely. It was a huge turnaround. It was the toughest bracket or the toughest region. Everyone knew that. And so you knew whoever coming out of it would have to be a really good team. And Carolina had a lot easier of a way up until they played Kentucky to get there. They played a Butler team that was very undersized compared to Carolina. They played an Arkansas team who scared them, but an Arkansas team that Kentucky had just beaten by like 25 in the SEC championship. And then they got their 16 seed. So as a one seed, they deserved the easier road. And I think that helped them by the time they played Kentucky. Their guys probably weren't quite as worn down, didn't have to try as hard in the games before that to win. And now they are going into the Final Four. You got South Carolina along there with them, Oregon and Gonzaga. And if you have any questions about how hard the NCAA tournament is and how much of luck it is, look at that South Carolina team. They lost five of their last seven, including two in a row before the NCAA tournament. And now they've beaten Duke. They've beaten Baylor by 20. They beat Florida by 7. And now they're sitting in their first ever Final Four. Unfortunately, I like Frank Martin as a guy, but I'm still hurt that they're the only SEC team that made it to the Final Four because Kentucky was significantly better than them all year long. I still think they would beat them if they played them right now, but at the end of the day, South Carolina's there, Kentucky isn't. SEC teams, though, Greg, 11-4 in the tournament so far. It is the they have at least one team in the Final Four for the fifth time in the last 7 years. And for those, again, questioning Calipari, Kentucky was in all of the other four of those instances in the last 7 years.
Of course. The only thing that's more painful about this was that South Carolina's won more games in March in Madison Square Garden than my Knicks have.
Yeah, that's a pretty poor stat. Knicks with one win in Madison Square Garden in March. South Carolina with two in 3 days.
All right, we got to take our final break. It's a short one. Stay with us. Lots more to talk about on Sports Talk with Action Jackson Rings and yours truly, Greg Horn. We'll be right back on AM 1250 WLRT.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you on a Monday. And we want to thank our sponsor of the day, Beaumont Family Dentistry. Three locations in Lexington. Take care of all your dental care needs. One over in the Hamburg area. One on the other side of town over off Leestown Road. Then, of course, the home office over in Beaumont area. If you're looking for a new dentist and you schedule an appointment with Beaumont Family Dentistry, you tell them that you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk. On your initial visit, you'll get a free take-home whitening kit. So to find out the phone number of the location closest to you, check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com. Well, Jackson, obviously we want to talk about Kentucky a lot, but I thought this weekend was some great basketball. Friday night, man, the Gonzaga game, trying to think who they were playing against. Who did they beat to get there?
That was, on Thursday night when Gonzaga beat West Virginia.
West Virginia, yes. Thank you, Thursday night. Phenomenal game. What was some of your favorite other games over the weekend?
Well, games we didn't get to talk about, obviously Florida-Wisconsin was a really exciting one. I wasn't paying as much attention when Wisconsin had to make a comeback late to send that game to overtime, but watched it a lot in overtime. And I still think that Nigel Hayes should have missed his second free throw on purpose and made Florida get a rebound and run to the other end and try to take a shot. Instead, he made it, and Florida got that, got to kind of set things up. Chris Chioza runs the full length of the court and hits that floater from the three-point line to win 84-83. But other than that, I mean, there really weren't any close games other than Carolina-Kentucky. I mean, South Carolina wins by 20 against Baylor. You had South Carolina win by 7 against Florida on Sunday. On Saturday, Gonzaga just destroyed Xavier 83-59. Oregon really put it to Kansas 74-60. And so I was a little disappointed, actually. I wanted it, when you get to an Elite Eight, when you get to the finals of a region, I wanted closer games. And the only one that was worth watching, in my opinion, was Kentucky North Carolina. The South Carolina Florida game was interesting because South Carolina was down at halftime, had to come back. But overall, I was a little disappointed. You got to hope that the Final Four is better than that. But who knows? I mean, you've got some teams that I don't think a lot of people expected to be there in South Carolina and Oregon. And then just a question of, can Gonzaga do anything? South Carolina and Gonzaga both in their first Final Four. Oregon in their first one since 1939. And so I think that's why, along with just the fact that I think North Carolina's the best team, they're also the veteran team. They've been here before. That's why I expect them to win the national title.
Well, it may be one of the lowest rated as far as TV ratings ever in the Final Four. And got to be honest, I'm not sure how much I'm going to watch of it. I guess I'll watch some of it because we do have a sports talk show. But other than that, don't know that I'm going to set up my whole weekend around.
Well, Greg, I leave the country on Saturday, so I don't get to watch the Final Four games. I don't get to watch the national championship game. But I wouldn't want to even if I was here. I'd pay attention to what happened. Like you said, we're a sports talk show. You got to do that. But I wouldn't want to watch these games if I was the average fan. And as a Kentucky fan, other than being sour, I really just don't. I'm not interested. I mean, South Carolina versus Gonzaga does not interest me. Oregon, North Carolina, I think, could be a really good game. And I don't know about the national championship game. If South Carolina makes it to the championship, that's going to be another reason to not want to watch the championship game. Just because, yes, they're super hot right now. But up and down, I just don't feel like they're a very good team. Or that's a bad way to put it. I just don't feel like they give you a lot of a star power, a lot of interest for the average fan. And so I think that the networks have to hope that Gonzaga and probably Carolina make it to the championship. Give them 2-1 seeds. People might want to watch that.
It still won't be good, but that's what makes it March Madness. But really shocked to see the other three teams besides North Carolina. Well, unfortunately for Dominique Hawkins and Derek Willis, it was – I didn't call him Dominique Wilkins for the first time.
Yeah, good job.
But last time they wore a Kentucky uniform.
It was, and Derek Willis was asked what he would want to be remembered as. He said, a Kentucky boy who wanted to bring a championship, and I'm sorry I couldn't do that. It's unfortunate that those guys' careers have to end. I thought Dominique handled it really well. He was still kind of – he wasn't quite smiling like he normally does, but he still looked okay. He said his life isn't over. Man, he'd love to keep that Kentucky jersey on. Unfortunately, he can't anymore. And so, unfortunately, see those guys' careers end when they've meant so much to this state. Michael Mulder, of course, having to leave because of it being his senior year as well. And then you look at those decisions. I think Fox and Monk have to leave. I'm in the boat. I think Briscoe has to leave. I don't think he can get a whole lot better here at Kentucky. Bam probably will leave. And so you're going to lose, you know, seven or eight guys off of this team. Hamidou Diallo did say he was 100% in, but he also said he's going to talk to his family and everything. Really important for that guy to come back. I think he could end up being the guy for Kentucky next year. And still, they've got, you know, a great recruiting class coming in, so we'll just have to turn the page and move on. But it was a lot of fun with these guys, and now I think you wait for those fringe decisions. What does Wenyen Gabriel do? What does Isaac Humphries do? Sasha Calais-Jones has said he wants to come back, but will that change? You know, Marcus Lee said he wanted to come back and didn't. So still some decisions yet to be made, and that'll be something for us to talk about for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. There'll be a lot of new faces next year. That's one thing for sure. One former Cat, though, may have had the best game of the weekend on Friday night.
Well, I think we have just enough time to talk about this. Devin Booker dropped 70 points against the Boston Celtics on Friday night. Most ever points against the Boston Celtics, and only the sixth guy ever to do it. So just an amazing feat that he had. Yes, his team still lost, and that's because they suck, one, but two, because they've shut down some of their more veteran guys. Tyson Chandler's no longer playing this season. Eric Bledsoe no longer playing this season. So it hurt them. Unfortunately, they lost, but Coach Cal joking and saying, man, he really overrode our storyline for Friday night because that was just an amazing game for him. He only scored 70 the entire month of March at Kentucky.
Big night for Booker. That's going to be a wrap for Sports Talk for Action Jackson Rings. I'm Greg Horn. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday at 5:05 p.m. for Sports Talk.